What is God's will for my life? This is possibly one of the biggest questions in the minds of a lot of Christians. Is it possible to actually know what God wants for your life? Can we know for sure that what we are doing is God's will for our life? And what about those well-intentioned people who claim to know God's will, but end up being completely and totally wrong? For instance, there was a bishop over a century ago who proclaimed from his pulpit and in the periodical of which he was the editor that heavier-than-air flight was both impossible and contrary to the will of God. As history has shown, obviously the bishop, whose last name was Wright, was wrong. The irony of the situation was compounded when the bishop's sons, Wilbur and Orville, went on to make one of the first heavier-than-air flights. So obviously people can be wrong about God's will. Even the right was wrong. What about people who superimpose their own will into God's will and call it God's will? For instance, there was this old Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside. She sold buttons and thread, needles, things like that. And whenever she would come to an unmarked crossroad, she would take a stick and just toss it in the air. Whatever direction the stick would land was the direction she would go. However, one day she was seen tossing the stick over and over and over again. Someone asked, "Why do you toss the stick more than once?" "Because," the old lady replied, "it keeps pointing to the left, and I want to take the road to the right." So she just continued to throw the stick into the air until it finally pointed the direction she wanted to go. That's a humorous story, but it does illustrate a point. People do the same thing with God's will. Sometimes they do what they want with their life and then claim that it was God's will all along. So what exactly is God's will for your life? What does he want? Is there a way to know? Is there a place in the Bible that simply tells you this is God's will for your life? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there does happen to be several places in the Bible that tells us exactly what God wants for you to do in your life. Go ahead and look at your sheet, the handout I gave you, and point one there says, God's will takes some discernment, but the basics are always the same. God's will takes some discernment, but the basics are always the same. And then if you'd like to, you can turn to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." So I'm going to read that again because it's very important. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So this verse is saying that we can discern what is the will of God. And then it gives three guidelines. I'd like to call them lenses that sort of narrow down what God's will is for our lives. The first one, and it's also on your paper, is what is good. So God's will takes some discernment, but the basics are always the same. And these are the three basics. What is good? As this verse says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good. So, what about what is good? Well, a lot of times there's more than one choice. It's a multiple choice thing for God's will in this case. What is good can be a variety of things. Some things very simple, such as, okay, I want a healthy lunch. Well, I want a sub. Well, there's multiple options. I could go to Blimpie's, I could go to Subway, I could get one from a variety of places. It'd be a good lunch. It's good for me, it's healthy. So what is good can be something as simple as that. You know, that's a good choice, and there's multiple things to choose from. How about something a little bit more serious as far as where you want to live? Well, you could choose, let's say, Marquette or Little Rock, Arkansas. Well, they're both top 10 livable communities. They're both good places to live. they could both be good choices. They could both very well be within the will of God. So it can be a multiple choice thing here. How about where you want to work? Choosing to work at, let's say Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A. Well, they're both ranked within the top 10 employers to work for. They're both good Christian companies. They're good places to work. So what's good? Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A? Well, it doesn't really matter. It's not that God's going to push you into one of these and that's God's will for your life. It could be a multiple choice thing. There's a lot of options in life. How about taking a missions trip? Let's see, I want to take a missions trip, and there's a lot of options out there. Let's say Minneapolis versus Africa. Well, either one of those might be a good choice. But we can narrow that lens down a little bit because the verse goes on and says, it talks about a couple more things. So we've got what is good. That can be a very broad spectrum of things that could very well fit within God's will for our lives. The next part is what is acceptable. And that's also in your handout. So we've got what is good, what is acceptable. I'll read the verse again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable. All right, so what is acceptable? What does that mean? I think what it's saying here is it up to God's standards? If we look at what's acceptable for our life, there's two questions to ask for this one. Is it up to God's standards? Does it go against God's word? So is there anything in the choice between going to Minneapolis to minister or going to Africa that goes against God's word? Well, here again, we've still got quite a few choices that we could choose from, but it sort of narrows things down a little bit. So does it go against God's word? And then does it harm anyone physically, emotionally, or spiritually? So what is acceptable? Is this an acceptable thing to do in the light of Scripture, in the light of how we relate to others? Is it going to be a stumbling block to someone else, or is it going to fit with Scripture and build up other people? Those are a couple of frameworks to use when we think of what is acceptable. So we have still a variety of choices, as we can see, that could be God's will for our life. See, God doesn't really push us into one specific thing. And we'll find out why in a little while, but let's get to the third sub-point under that first point, and that is what is perfect. And this will narrow things down a little bit more. This lens is a little bit more stringent, and it's going to narrow our choices down some. So we have what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Again, the verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So what is perfect? This can be fairly simple or it can be fairly complex. It just depends on the situation. What is perfect? Out of all the choices, is there the perfect one? A lot of times this has to do with you. So let's say out of those job situations, well, you want to work at Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A. Well, you've got job offers from both of them. Well, which one is perfect for you? Maybe you've always wanted to work with food and you love serving up chicken sandwiches, so Chick-fil-A is the perfect choice for you. You know, a lot of times that has to do with your abilities and your gifts in life. The Bible talks about our gifts and our abilities, and those are God-given. And those help us choose what God's will is for our life. Because the perfect situation for you might not be the perfect situation for someone else. Everyone has a place. And so these lenses help us figure out what God's will is. Is it, first of all, is it a good choice? Secondly, is it acceptable? Is it up to God's standards? Thirdly, is it the perfect choice? Let's say moving to Little Rock, Arkansas versus Marquette. Well, if all your family lives near Marquette and there's a Chick-fil-A that you can work at and Little Rock, Arkansas doesn't have either of those things, well, maybe the perfect choice for you would be Marquette. See what I'm saying? There are choices, but we narrow them down based on what would be the best for our lives and the most biblical. And we're looking at this. So how about the missions trip? Minneapolis versus Africa. Well, I suppose it depends on your financial situation, how much time you would have, what's the perfect fit for you? Minneapolis might be a lot closer, less expensive. It might, if you're a church planning things, it might free up a lot more finances to help more people with your church. There's needy people in Africa, there's needy people in Minneapolis, there's unsaved people both places. So you might choose that. It might be the perfect fit for your church. See what I'm saying? There's multiple choices, but what fits the best? What fits your life? What gifts has God given? What has He provided and allowed you to do? So we've been talking about knowing God's will within a variety of choices. But what about those parts of life where we don't have any choices? Does the Bible have anything to say to people who don't have many choices in life? How about people who have illnesses, who are bedridden, or have such limited finances that they can't choose much of anything? Some people, they couldn't even think about a mission trip anywhere. They are their mission trip. They're limited. What about those people? Does the Bible speak to those types of situations where you don't have a lot of choices in life? Can you still follow God's will? And the answer is yes. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." So we see in this verse it's talking about slaves. Most slaves don't, if you know much about slavery, that obviously they don't get to choose where they want to live. They don't get to choose who they serve. They don't get to choose what they do with life. Most of their choices are taken away. A lot of older cultures, their choices were even taken away, who they would marry, whether or not they would marry at all. Pretty much all their choices were taken away. Well, you might not be a slave, but you might have most of your choices taken away by any variety of circumstances. But the Bible makes it clear that even these slaves could do the will of God. It says, "Obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." So it sort of clarifies doing the will of God from the heart by saying, here's how you do it: rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. So even slaves who can't make many choices could do the will of God. The focus here is on attitude rather than actions. Most slaves didn't get to choose what they got to do with life. A lot of it was pretty mundane. You're cooking for your master, you're doing chores, you're cleaning the house, you're working the fields, things like that. They didn't get to choose what they did, but they got to choose what attitude they did it with. And that's the big key here. Anything that's done, no matter what it is, can be done for God. If you're washing your dishes, if you're sweeping the floor, if you're shoveling the sidewalk, it can all be done for God, and that can be the will of God for you in that day. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." So something as simple as eating, drinking, whatever you do, is saying, getting dressed in the morning, taking a shower, those can all be done for the glory of God. And we'll get to exactly how in a little bit too, because our third point deals with that. That second point, if you're filling in your bulletin, says, even if your choices are taken away, you can still do the will of God. Even if your choices are taken away, you can still do the will of God. So, we know that God's will can be something as simple as choosing the better of two options. And we know that God's will does not really depend on our circumstances. If we have no choices at all, we can still do God's will. But are there some specific things in Scripture that clearly spell out, this is the will of God? Well, there are three very specific passages I would like to point out. And that third point in your bulletin is, the Bible gives us three specific things that are God's will for our lives. The Bible gives us three specific things that are God's will for our lives. First one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, says this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you." Well, that one's pretty clear cut. And the first point there is keep yourself sexually pure. It's pretty straightforward. This is the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. Can't get much clearer than that. So that's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 8. It says, keep yourself sexually pure. That's the will of God for your life. The second one could be a little bit tougher in some circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one chapter over, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This one, personally, for me, is a tough one because it gives three specific things that it wants us to do, and then it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First one is rejoicing always. Now, that one, it's simple. It's a simple command, but it's not always necessarily easy to do. Rejoicing always sounds good until you run up against a wall where it's a tough circumstance. I would like to skip the second one for now because I think that's kind of the key to doing the first one and the third one. Rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, those two things are very tough things to accomplish. Giving thanks in all circumstances, rejoicing always. But the third one is pray without ceasing. I think that is really the key to achieving those other two, is pray without ceasing. And does that mean be on your knees all day, all the time, every chance you get, praying with your prayer list in front of you, pray without ceasing? No, Bob's shaking his head. No, and that's right. Because that's not really possible. It's not practical. And guess what? You're probably not going to accomplish God's will for your life if that's what you're doing. It's talking about having an attitude of prayer. And it's something we can do throughout the day as we're going about regular things. It's being in a constant state of prayer, bringing things to the Lord on a regular basis. And it's not always easy to do, but as we're driving, as we're shopping, as we're thinking about people, someone comes to your mind, well, bringing them before the Lord. Well, Lord, please be with that person. You must have brought them to my mind for a reason. Lord, as I'm washing my dishes, I do pray for that person. They came to my mind. As you're driving to work and person cuts you off, now this is one I need to work on. Bringing them to the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, that person might need you. I pray that you'd meet them. You know, just things like that throughout the day, being in an attitude of prayer, I think it would make the rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances a lot easier. It's having that attitude of prayer that results in joy. And it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pretty simple, not always easy to do. And the third one, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:15, very clearly, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So the third point there is keep doing good no matter who is watching. Keep doing good no matter who is watching. So we have keep yourself sexually pure, keep a good and prayer-filled attitude, is the second point. Keep a good and prayer-filled attitude. Then the third point is keep doing good no matter who is watching. Now Peter's talking to some people who are being persecuted, and obviously if someone is persecuting you, they're criticizing every little thing in your life. They're trying to find fault. And Peter tells them, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now that's pretty neat, actually. I mean, the Bible even calls these people ignorant and foolish. You don't even have to do it because the Bible calls them that. All you have to do is just keep doing good, no matter what they say, no matter what they're doing. So if you have enemies, if you have people that are not treating you right, if you have people that are against you and nitpicking and trying to find fault in your life, the answer here, and by the way, this is the will of God, that by doing good, keep doing good, that you will put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So, fairly simple to do, fairly simple to understand, not simple to do. In review of all these points, so God's will involves choosing among a variety of options for what's good. God's will is not necessarily one specific thing, but it's choosing among a variety of options what is good, narrowing it down to what is acceptable, and then narrowing it further to what is perfect. And you may have multiple choices still, but that helps us know what God's will is when we're dealing with a variety of choices. But when we don't have any choices, God's will has more to do with our attitude than our choices. We can literally do anything for the Lord, and it can be God's will if we have the right attitude, if we're doing it for the Lord. And the Bible tells us specific things that are God's will. It says, stay pure, have a good attitude, and do good. Those are three things that are God's will for our lives. It says, stay pure, have a good attitude, and do good. Those three things, we know if we're accomplishing those, that we're doing God's will. That's what God wants us to do. So now you know God's will for your life. It really is that simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Life is made up of small, insignificant things. It might not seem like cooking supper, or stocking shelves, or shoveling the sidewalk, helping someone out of their car. Doesn't seem like those things are big things or nearly as big of a deal as preaching or going on a missions trip or turning your life over to God for service in some way. A lot of times we think of God's will as some huge one-time decision, one direction for our whole life. But in reality, it has more to do with our day-to-day insignificant routines than it does with a one-time direction and decision. Things like our purity, our attitude, and how we help others are really God's will for our lives. That is God's will for our life. No matter what life brings us, no matter what happens to be our direction in life, we can still accomplish God's will. It has more to do with those things than it does with that major decision. So I'd like to challenge you and myself this week. I'm going to try to do the same thing. I'd like to take a couple minutes at the end of every day this week and evaluate your day. It doesn't have to be a huge deal, but just kind of go back through your day in your mind and say, think about your attitude, your motives, what you did or didn't do, and think about whether or not you took opportunities to help others, to serve God by helping other people, and ask yourself if you did the things that you had to do with a good and godly attitude and you did them for Christ, and not because they had to be done. And then ask yourself this simple question, did I do God's will for today? Did I accomplish God's will for my life today? If we can all make this a habit, we'll never have to wonder again if we're accomplishing God's will for our life. It's as simple as that, making a habit out of each day trying to do God's will for our life, because we really do know it. We know what God wants us to do. It's fairly simple, but it's not easy. So I think a daily evaluation of how did we do today? Did I do God's will today? And like I say, I'm going to try to do the same thing and start with a week and try to continue it if you can go longer. But then you'll never have to wonder, am I accomplishing God's will for my life right here and right now? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have spelled out your will for us. And we do recognize that it's a difficult thing. Although it's easy to understand, it's not always easy to do. And we pray that you would give us strength as we go about our daily lives and a lot of the insignificant and mundane things that come our way every day and on a regular basis, that you would help us to do them for you. Help us to do them in a way that honors you. And Lord, as we make choices and choose things, help us to choose the right things. Help us to narrow those things down with the lens of Scripture and to be able to know that we are doing your will, that we're doing the best thing that you've prepared us to do. And Lord, even in the situations where we don't have any choices, we pray that you would help us to do that with a good attitude and still be able to serve you with the things that we can do. And we thank you for the specific things that you've taught us that we can do and we're supposed to be doing. And we pray that you would help us and encourage our hearts as we strive to be more Christ-like and to do those things. And as we are able to become more like you and to do your will better and better each day, we pray that you would help us to grow closer to you. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.